we are holding on Hey Omer Aleph, 8 lines from the top. Line begins a little jiggly. We started discussing the question in our Mishnah when we have the Oni and the Balabayas, is put, where one of them puts into the other one's hand or takes out of the other one's hand. So we said one or the other of them is going to be Chayav Chatzos, because it was Akira of Hanocha. But we asked the question that there needs to be Akira and Hanocha from a place that's 4x4 Tvachim or more. And here you don't have it, so the person's hand is not that size. So we tried to say maybe our Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Akiva. We said that doesn't work in the end because we said Rabbi Akiva would say that's fine. By Hanocha, you don't need 4x4, but Akira, you do. And in our Mishnah, you have cases of Akira and cases of Hanocha. We tried to say that it works according to Rebbe, who apparently doesn't require that. He doesn't care about Akira or Hanocha being from a Makom Dalad al Dalad, but we said that still doesn't work because Rebbe holds his din, a case over there where he throws something through a Rishos HaYachid that's between two Rishos HaRavins. He would only hold that if it was a house, because then you can consider it as though it was filled up, as though it was a solid block. Therefore, conceptually, it landed in there and then took off from there again. And in our Mishnah, not necessarily. And in our Mishnah, even if we say the Rishos HaYachid is a house, the Rishos HaRavim, by definition, does not have a roof, because the Rishos HaRavim that has a roof is not a Rishos HaRavim. So, Elo Amar Abdero Hamani Achirin. So Rabbi Yehuda says, okay, you know what? Our Mishnah that doesn't require that the Akira or Hanocha should be from a place, Dalad on Dalad, would be according to Acherim, which usually means Reb Meir. The Tanya, Acherim, Omad b'mekoyim v'kibol chayav, the Acherim say like this. Suppose that Reuven throws something in Rosh Hashanah, and then Shimon stands there where he is and catches it. Chayav, then Reuven, who threw it, is chayav chatos for having transferred it four amos in Rosh Hashanah. But if Shimon has to move from his place and run to get it, like imagine, you know, playing baseball or something, you know, and he throws the ball and the other guy has to run over to catch it, potter, then he would be potter, because then the hanocha was not done directly because of his koyach, no? Because otherwise the hanocha would have taken, otherwise it would have landed someplace else. It would have landed in the street, or it might have even landed on something. Let's say, for example, the situation is where if it hadn't been for the guy running, let's say, then it might have landed in a caramelist or a mokum tur. In which case, he wouldn't be chayev, because again, you need akira v'hanocha. So in this case, the other guy ran over and got it. So therefore, there was a hanocha, but the hanocha didn't happen because of the original zerdik, because of the original thrower.
There was a hanocha,
but it wasn't mikoicha. Therefore, it amounts to shnayim shastua. When Shimon is standing in the same place and receives it, then it means the hanocha happened. Reuven threw the ball or whatever it is to a place where he expected that it was going to land. So good. Then in that case, he did the akira. He did the hanocha. It was also malachas machsheves. He intended that it should happen like that, and it happened. Which is another point in Hilchos Shabbos that you need in order for it to be considered a malacha. It has to be malachas machshavas, that you intended this outcome to happen. If you do something and a different outcome takes place, you have machloikas. We're going to talk about it. You mentioned it the other day in the case of dragging a heavy bench, for example. But you have other examples like that where you do something and a malacha takes place, but not necessarily that you intended. So we're going to discuss later on. And then the second Terek and in other places, we're going to talk about the ins and outs of that, when a person is chayiv and when not. But in any case, here, when he threw it, so actually, we don't even need to say, I guess, that it was going to land in a caramelist or whatever, even if it was going to land in Rosh Hashanah. But it's not malachas machshavas anymore. If Shimon had to run to get it, then it means that Reuven, when he threw it, did not intend that Shimon was going to catch it. Because Shimon had to voluntarily run to get it. Malachas Machshavas would be if he intended that Shimon was going to catch it, and that would only be if Shimon is staying in his place.
One second, if he did not intend, and if he had in mind that he might move.
There's no might. He has in mind, but no. So if he has in mind that wherever it lands, then fine. Then he's chayav no matter what. We're going to have examples of that later on, where a person throws something in Rosh Hashanah and he doesn't much care where it lands. But here we're talking about he intended for it to land in Rosh Hashanah, let's say. Instead, So again, if he threw it directly to Shimon and Shimon caught it, then Reuven is going to be chayev. But if Shimon had to move, then Achirim are saying it's potter. We're going to revisit that point later on the further down on the oven. Okay. So the question is, we have to ask, what do you mean Omar b'mekom of a kibbol chayev? What do you mean that if Shimon stands there and catches the ball, that he's chayev? As we were saying before, we were assuming that you need a hanocha on a place that's 4x4 tefachim, and his hand is not 4x4 tefachim. Ela shma mina, shouldn't that be a valid proof? Loi ba'in and makom abba. That, at least according to Acherim, you don't need a makom abba. So there you go. On Mishnah, talking about the Oni and the Balabayas giving from one hand to another, it's talking according to Acherim. The problem is, again, like we said before with Rabbi Akiva, the Dilma Hanocha, who delayed Be'inan, and Ha'akira Be'inan, maybe the Acherim would say that you don't need Hanocha, but you do need Akira from a makom dalet al dalet, because again, what we said before is either because that's how they did it in the Mishkan, that when people are bringing, as Tosfos had said, when people are bringing donations to the Mishkan, then they would take it out of their tent, they take it out of a chest or something in their tent, and bring it to the workers, and they're not necessarily putting it down on a makom dalet al dalet, but they are taking it from a place that was Dalad al Dalad. Then they're taking from Rishas Yachim to Rishas Rabim. So therefore, we would learn from that that it has to be from a place Dalad al Dalad. Another idea also would be, we mentioned yesterday that the idea is when it's on a place less than Dalad al Dalad, it's more likely to fall down. It can't really be considered that it's noch there, that it landed there. So therefore, to do Akira from some place, you have to have that it was in a place where it was going to stay there. Otherwise, you can't really say it's Akira. Otherwise, the Akira, in effect, took place when it was first put there. So therefore, so there's reason to distinguish between Akira and Hanocha and say, Hanocha, okay, it's going to be on a place less than Dalad al-Dalad, fine. For the moment, it's not sturdy, it's not steady over there, but okay, you know, that we don't care about so much, but at least that should be taken from some place, Dalad al-Dalad.
I've seen some things by Mishkan that were less than Dalad, that people, but a lot of people were bigger than Dalad.
Right, yeah.
So it had to be a place
Dalad al-Dalad, yeah. Anyway, so the same question as we had by Rabbi Akiva, that there should be a distinction, the same question we can have according to Acherim. And the Hanocha Nami, and the Gemara says, even if you're going to talk about Hanocha, even if you're going to say that, okay, at least Acherim hold that Hanocha doesn't require Makom Dalad al-Dalad, maybe not. Dilma de Poshet can say the Kibla. Maybe we're not talking about that Shimon caught the thing in his hand. Maybe we're talking about that he stuck out, that he's opened up the skirts of his garment or whatever. And receives it in ask, and then it's Dalad al-Dalad, the Ikanami Hanocha. Then you already have Hanocha. 4x4 Tefachim is not all that much, after all. It's only, according to Rabbi Chaina, that a Tefach is 4 inches, so 4x4 would be 12x12 inches. So he reaches out a corner of his jacket or something, or a corner of his whatever, and catches it in ask. There you have Dalad al-Dalad. Acherim are not saying one way or the other whether he caught it in his hand or not. So therefore, so we can't say that our Mishnah goes according to Acherim either. That doesn't work. Omer of Abba, so Rabbi Abba says, okay, let's try another possibility. Masnissin to then shekivu b'traskel v'hiniyach hagab b'traskel. The Mishnah would be talking about that. We're not talking about just their hands. We're talking about that there's a basket involved over here. The Ikanami Hanocha, so then there's also Hanocha. Now, we didn't have Ella over here. We didn't have that Rab Abba is saying, but we have to reject what we said before. So therefore, what Rab Abba is saying still works with this that we're trying to make it go according to Acherim, that we're saying, yes, Acherim require that they may require a Makom Dalad al-Dalad, but we can still say there is a Makom Dalad al-Dalad over here because of the basket involved. So
he threw it with the basket.
No, not he threw it with the basket. Actually, we're going to talk about later on Daf Ches. We're going to talk about a case where you throw something from one reshus to another, which is large enough by itself to constitute a separate reshus. We're going to talk about that. That a person's not chayav for, because in the midbar they throw things large enough that things like that that are large enough to constitute their own reshus. But what we mean is over here. In other words, the army is holding a basket. The Balabayas is also holding a basket, or one of them is holding a basket, as the case may be. So therefore, for example, so the Oni, let's say, takes something from his hand, fine. Let's say, for example, he takes his hand with a basket in it, brings it into Rishus HaYachid, brings it in through the window, and then puts it into the Balabayas' basket, or we said maybe according to Acherim, maybe he doesn't need to put it into a basket, maybe he just puts it into the Balabayas' hand, whatever. And anyway, so that's what we're talking about, but we're talking about that it was placed into a trash skull or taken out of a trash skull. The ikanami hanocha, so then you have hanocha on a place, dalad adalim. So the question is, what do you mean? The Mishnah had said, Pashatani is yodai, Pashat Balabai says yodai, that he stuck out his hand. Okay, the answer is Tani Traskel should be yodai. Okay, it doesn't mean his hand itself, I mean the basket that's in his hand. The problem with that is, Hotena Traskel versus a yachid. Okay, that would work when it comes to the Balabai's basket, which is in Rishus HaYachid, because then fine, it's part of Rishus HaYachid. So he takes something, so let's say the Oni takes some, let's say the Oni has something that was in his hand and brings it in and puts it into the Balabai's basket. So okay, he's brought it in and put it into something that's Dalad al-Dalad in Rishus HaYachid. He starts in Rishus HaRab, right. And he takes something and puts it into the Balabai's basket, let's say. Okay, so then you can say he's right. I will trust Rosh HaYachid and Rosh HaRabim Rosh HaYachid. But if you have the basket in Rosh HaRabim, why would it be considered Rosh HaYachid? It would have to be considered, it itself would have to be Rosh HaYachid, because we are talking about it's 4x4 and it's above 10 Tefachim. Lema, Deloitte, well, therefore it should be Rosh HaYachid. So then you're transferring from Rosh HaYachid to Rosh HaYachid. Well,
it's true Rosh HaRabim.
Doesn't, no, as long as you're not, well, no, because... Okay, fine. So you could, right. Okay, fair enough. You could say that if it's above 10 fachim, then you're transferring it through Makom Torah, right? But because you said yesterday, Moshe is not like that. Moshe, even if it's above 10 fachim, and then you're going over Rosh HaYachid, you can still be chayav. No, but the point is though that his basket though is because his basket could be right next to the window, let's say. So he doesn't have to be some distance away. So therefore, there's no Rosh HaRabim that you're passing over.
Right, it could be that there's a basket available for poor people. You want to use something, you're not going to window.
Yeah.
You see the basket, you put something
in the So if he's holding his basket in Rosh HaRabim, it should still be considered Rosh HaYachid because it is above 10 Tefachim, and it is 10 Tefachim or higher, and it has, and it's large enough. We're assuming in our Sugya here that's 4x4, otherwise there's nothing to talk about it being a separate Rosh HaRabim anyway. In which case, shouldn't we have to say that our Mishnah does not go like Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda? Again, as much as possible, we would like to try to say that a Stam Mishnah goes according to everybody. But in that case, we would have to say as far as this matter of isn't he passing it over Rosh HaRabim actually, and I would say maybe it's right next to the window. Actually, Tosfos mentions it over here. But Tosfos brings from the Yerushalmi that in order for a person to be chayav from Moshe to Bum Ten Tefachim, it has to be that the other person took it from his hand. And here you don't have that. In the case of our Mishnah, for example, when the Oni reaches in and puts it into the hand of the Balabais, that's the case where he's chayav. The Balabais, we said, is not involved at all. The Balabais is just standing there passively. So that's why. So even if the basket is not next to the window, even if it is some distance away, as long as it's not more than 4 amos away, obviously, if it was, he couldn't reach in anyway. But then he would be if we said the basket in Rosh HaRabim would be a Rosh HaYachid, then he's transferring from one Rosh HaYachid to another. He's not having the other person take it from him, because that's what we said in the Mishnah. He's dropping it into the Balabai's hand or basket or whatever, and therefore he'd be Pasur.
Because
he's going from Rosh HaYachid to Rosh HaYachid. Unless we say the basket is not Rosh HaYachid, which would only be according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Which would not be, according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, it would be still considered Rosh HaRabim. So according to him, then... Well, that's what we have to figure out.
Taking it from his window and passing it through.
No, not window. We're saying that his basket, we're assuming his basket is 4x4 Tefachim. He's holding it above 10 Tefachim. When you consider the space from the ground till the top of the basket, you have at least 10 Tefachim. Now, you have a concept in halacha called good achis mechitzasa. Good achis and good achis. That means, in other words, that when you have something, sometimes you have in halacha, when you have walls suspended in the air, or in this case, you have the basket, it has walls, we consider as though those walls extend all the way down to the ground. So in that case, if we have something 4x4, which is above 10 tefachim, we would consider as though the walls of it actually extend all the way down to the ground. Therefore, you have a block there which is 10 tefachim tall and 4x4, and it should be a reshus
yachid. Yeah, but the problem with that is that above 10 tefachim, it's a makom, what is it?
Makom tur, in reshus
tur. So you go from makom to makom.
No, because again, if we said that, so that's the question. It's not going to be makom p'tur. It's not, well, on the face of it, it's not going to be makom p'tur because yes, it's in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and above ten in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is makom p'tur. But as we said before, you moshik when you hand something from when you hand something over in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, or even we're going to talk about later on, a person takes something in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and passes it over himself and puts it down the other side, even if it's above 10 tefachim, and he's still chayav. So that's one of the exceptions where we say the 10 tefachim limit doesn't apply.
That's how it's done. So yeah. That's in one rishus. Yeah, you're talking about two rishus.
No, but so that's the question. But we're talking about from rishus to Abim to rishus to Yachim. So that's the question.
Three.
No, so that's the question. In other words, If you're going to say, that's the point. If you're going to say good achis, then you're going to say the oni's basket outside the window is rishus to Yachim. The one inside of the balabais is also Rosh Hashanah Yachid, because everything in the house is Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So all you're doing is taking from one Rosh Hashanah Yachid to another. And as Tosfos says, in that case, you're not even chayev for Moshe. In order for him to be chayev, we have to say that that his basket is considered Rosh Hashanah Abin. But that doesn't work. That doesn't work according to Rabbi Yehuda. His hand being a makom kosher, we're going to get to soon. We haven't gotten to that point yet. So if our Mishnah is saying the basket is not Rosh Hashanah Yachid, that seems to disagree with Rabbi Yosi b'Behoda, who says that it is considered Rosh Hashanah Yachid. The Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, Rabbi Yosi b'Behoda Omer, Noat Kona v'Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, suppose a person sticks a stick vertically into the ground in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, over Rosh Traskel, and at the top of the stick is a basket, Zorak b'Nochal Gabav, and then he throws something from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and it lands in the basket, Chayim. Not regardless. The point is, Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda considers that basket to be Rosh Hashanah Yachid.
Yes.
So therefore,
the basket is on top of a pole
standing in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, where the basket itself, again, is 4x4 at least, is above 10 tefachim from the ground. So therefore, once we apply good achis, then we say it's as if the walls of the basket extend all the way down to the ground. So therefore, Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda says, you have here Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and you threw from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So you're chayav.
From
Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. You're standing in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and you threw something, and it landed in there.
The basket. Yeah.
Right. So therefore he transferred from Rosh Hashanah Yachid to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to Rosh Hashanah Yachid. What we're saying is Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda gives that as an example where a person is chayav. Applying that to our Mishnah, if we were transferring from a basket that's in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to a basket in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda would consider both of them Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So you're transferring from Rosh Hashanah Yachid to Rosh Hashanah Yachid. What's the problem? What were you going to say?
You're transferring really from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to Makom Tur.
Why is there Makom Tur?
Because
passing through 10. No. Because when you're throwing something from Rosh Hashanah Yachid to from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to Rosh Hashanah Yachid, it doesn't matter that it passes over 10 tefachim. It doesn't matter that it passes over 10 tefachim, because we said before, the Chachamim don't hold klutzer kamisha huncha. They don't hold that something passing through an airspace is considered as though it landed there. So it didn't. It started in Rosh Hashanah. There was an Akira in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. There was a Hanocha in Rosh Hashanah Yachid. The Chachamim are disagreeing only because they hold that the basket is not considered Rosh Hashanah Yachid, because they would say, well, they would say, in other words, the basket over here that's on a pole in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is not going to be considered Rosh Hashanah Yachid, because they're not saying that we would apply good achis mechitzasa. They would say that when would you call it Rosh Hashanah Yachid is when you would you call it Rosh Hashanah Yachid if it actually had walls all the way down, not if you have to conceptualize, not if most of it consists of a thin stick and you have to conceptualize at the limb.
Yeah, but if it's a basket hanging on a hook on a tree, so that's a Rosh Hashanah Yachid anyhow. It's a Rosh Hashanah itself.
Well, there he is. Well, it's hanging on a tree. I mean, there you don't even have anything underneath it. There's even less reason to consider it a Rosh Hashanah. I don't know. I mean, we said yesterday that if the branches of the tree were wide enough, then they might constitute a Rosh Hashanah. Well, there we said actually it wasn't so much. We discussed yesterday about the tree. It's not so much the branch. It's not so much the question of the size of the branch itself. It's more the question of, do we follow the trunk, and the trunk is valid on valid.
Right. But here, if it's we talk about Rosh Hashanah, but the basket is hanging on a hook or on a stump coming down the tree, even the tree standing Rosh Hashanah, it's Rosh Hashanah, dalal dalal.
Maybe, but again, it doesn't have anything underneath it. So I don't even know if necessarily it would, even Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda might not consider Rosh Hashanah. I don't know. Anyway, that's a separate question. Anyway, okay. So again, the point is, the E could have Yisrael Yehuda. If you were going to say our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, who again holds up this basket that's on something in Rosh Hashanah Yerabim is considered a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, then when you have the case in our Mishnah, Poshet Bala Bais, if Yodel Achot, the Nosson will say, Yodishal Oni, that if he sticks out his hand and puts something into the hand of the Oni, and we're saying we mean into the Oni's basket, Amai Chayev, why would he be Chayev? Rosh Hashanah Yachid, Rosh Hashanah Yachid, come off it. Isn't he taking something from Rosh Hashanah Yachid from his house and putting it into Rosh Hashanah Yachid, the basket? So then he should be Potter.
And Rabbi
Yisrael Yehuda. Well, our Mishnah, Stam Mishnah, said that he's Chayev. We would like that to work according to Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda as well.
But it doesn't seem to.
Oh, that's the question. So the answer is, Rabbi Yehuda, you could even make our Mishnah work according to Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda. Hosim l'mayla miyud, hachal amas miyud, because there would be a difference. In the case of the basket on the pole, it's above 10 tefachim. In the case of our Mishnah, let's say we're talking about that his hand and the basket are below 10 tefachim.
Above
10 tefachim, you would consider it a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, because Rosh Hashanah Yachid needs to be 10 tefachim tall. Below it, it would be part of Rosh Hashanah Rabim. Now, actually, Tosfos asks the question, that why would it be Rosh Hashanah Rabim in that case? Shouldn't it be Karmelis?
Where?
That basket, it is 4x4. It's less than 10 tefachim tall. Something less than 10 tefachim tall and 4x4 wide in Rosh Hashanah Rabim is considered Karmelis. So then, in that case, you're right, they're not Chayav. Tosfos says that you can't apply the concept of caramelist to kalim. When do you say caramelist would apply? When you have something when you have an actual mokum in a shosarabim, then like, you know, pile of dirt or a pole, whatever. Yeah, but something that's going to stay there, not a kalim which is moving around. Tosfos also asked the question that forget about Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda. Maybe this is what you were asking before. If the basket is above 10 tefachim, regardless, isn't it going to be in Makom Ptur? Why do we need to mention Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda in order to even get into the question in the first place? The Tosfos mentions that, but maybe that's what you were mentioning. But maybe that's what you were getting at. Okay. So Tosfos himself has the question. Tosfos Yishonim on the side of it here says that maybe the Gemara thought that maybe we could be talking about, imagine that the basket is, the bottom of the basket is below 10 tefachim, but the top of it is above. The basket has a certain height to it, after all. So you could have, let's say, that we thought, for purposes of the question, that maybe, let's say, for example, the bottom of the basket is only 9 tefachim from the ground. By the time you reach the top of the basket, you're above 10. Okay. Anyway. So we could be talking about that the whole thing is below 10 tefachim, therefore there's no Rosh Hashanah Yachid over here. You know, even the top of the basket is below 10 tefachim, so there's no Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Karmelis it's not going to be, because like Tosfos is saying, ain't Karmelis for Kalim, and therefore that's it. So therefore it's in Rosh Hashanah.
Doesn't matter if the basket is 4x4?
It has to be 4x4, otherwise there's nothing to talk about.
So if it's 4x4, but
No. If it's above 10, it's just yachid. If it's below 10, it's not. And that's the whole reason why we got into this discussion about the basket, is because we're trying to have Akira and Hanocha from a place dalal dalal. The basket is less than 4x4. Back to the old question: how is it an Akira? How is it an Hanocha in the first place?
So now we're saying that below 10 tefachim, 4x4 is canceled, basically.
Well, if it was an omud, if, for example, it was a pillar in Rosh Hashanah, then yeah, it would count as caramelist. But because it's not, because it's a basket, and therefore it remains part of Rosh Hashanah, right?
So the basket gets it.
Well, he's holding it. He's holding it in his hand. What do you mean,
he got it?
Okay, we're not talking about what he's chayav for that. And like you said, it might have been that there's a basket lying there outside and he just picked it up, whatever. Okay. Fine. The problem is Okay, Rav Abahu still has a problem with this whole sugya. After all, you're telling me that we're talking about we're involving baskets over here, baskets of the oni, baskets of the balabais. After all, me katoni traskel should be yaday. Did the Mishnah say anything about a basket? The Mishnah had used the word yaday. So we said before, okay, you could say traskel should be yaday, but Rav Abahu doesn't like that. That's a weak answer, especially because if the whole din of the Mishnah only applies when there are baskets, then the Mishnah has to spell out that there's a basket over here so we don't get misled. Ella, Omer, Rav Abahu, so Rav Abahu gives a different answer. You're going to just forget about baskets. You're going to shil shal yaday lamata migimo v'kibla. We can be talking about where the oni puts his hand down within 3 tefachim of the ground. He's holding his hand very close to the ground and then receives the item in it. So within 3 tefachim is considered part of a Rishus HaRabim, sort of like Lavud. So it's considered as though it's below 3. Between 3 and 10, it's not going to be considered part of Rishus HaRabim. It might be considered timeless, it might be considered, maybe not timeless, it's not big enough, but whatever. It's not. If we assume that you need Hanocha and Akira from a Mokum Dalar al-Dalar, then maybe it would even be considered a Mokum Tur. But whatever, in order for it to be definitely part of Rishus HaRabim, it needs to be within 3 Tefachim of the ground.
Which said below 10, it's Rishus HaRabim.
Yes, but that's when you're talking about a Mokum. But here, if his hand is not a mocker and it's not dalad dalad, and we're saying that it counts as its own thing, that's what led us into this whole question in the first place, that it's not a mocker. So if it's within 3 tefachim of the ground, then it doesn't matter. Then it's considered like the ground. The ground itself is much more than 4x4. So therefore, then he's going to be chayav.
So a mocker is between below 10, but a hand has to be below 3.
Yeah.
It's not a mocker.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's new.
Okay, that's new. That's what the Gemara is all about. It's teaching us new things. Yeah.
That's
the question. The Mishnah said he's standing in Rosh Hashanah. What's his hand doing within 3 tefachim? Okay, the Gemara says b'shoisa. Let's say you could be talking about he's bending over. He's standing up and then he bends down and he's
bending down. He's not omed.
Fine, omed means he's standing on his feet as opposed to sitting. Let's say. The boy is saying of a guma. Another possibility would be that he's standing in a hole in the ground, so therefore he's standing full height, but his hand is still within 3 tefachim of the top of the hole. Tosis points out, in that case, you would have to be talking about that the hole itself would be considered a valid Rosh Hashanah. For example, people regularly walk through it, or use it for purposes or whatever. We're going to talk about later on when you have something in Rosh Hashanah, where even though, we're going to talk about a little bit of it soon in connection with something in Or Gemara, that you can have something in Rosh Hashanah, which even though objectively by itself we would have considered it timeless because of its size, but because people in Rosh Hashanah use it, for example, to adjust their load, therefore it's considered Rosh Hashanah after all. So here, it would be similarly, Tosfos said, you'd have to have that this hole is either something that people regularly use for such a purpose, or that people just walk through it. So if it's not, then it's chimerous, and again, there's nothing to talk about. So a second case could be standing in a hole, the boy same a banana. So a third case could be that the oni is a midget. Then he's standing full height, but his hand can be within 3 tefachim of the ground. That's the question. So Rava says, what is the Tana going through all these details just to talk about these oddball cases? We should assume that the Mishnah is talking about a more common case, unless it specifies. Elo, Omar Rava, so Rava says, never mind, you don't need any of that. Delete everything that we learned the last daf or so. You don't need to make it, you don't need baskets, you don't need mokum dalad al dalad. Yoda shall odom chashuvaloi to dalad al dalad. A person's hand is considered to him like a place 4x4, like a place 4x4 tefachim. One idea is, again, when we said we learn it from the Mishkan, so people would take things from their hands and bring it to the workers. So therefore, the hand itself is considered a mokum kosher for that purpose. If we say it's the idea that, as the Rashba and other Rishonim mentioned, that it has to be on something that's stable, so fine, things are stable in your hand. People hold small things in their hands. People hold small or even large things in their hands all the time. So therefore, the hand is considered like dalad al dalad. So that explains everything we just said. So therefore, yes, the oni's hand is considered like dalad al dalad. The balabayas is also. Therefore, you actually have akira from a place dalad al dalad. It can be within 10 tefachim of the ground. It doesn't have to be within 3 tefachim of the ground. It could be within 10. It could even be above 10. And it's still Rosh Hashanah, and the other one is still Rosh Hashanah, and yeah.
So we're introducing a new concept.
Right.
He's saying the hand is a makom chashuv and a makom chashuv.
And a makom chashuv is considered like 4x4.
But if he's standing in the shusharabim, but he himself is in one place and he's holding somebody's house and his hand is not considered shusharabim.
If you have, let's say, where the
talks about the pick something up or up and down and stand in one place and he do everything in your
yes. But here we're transferring it into the other Rishos, you have a problem. Yes, what you're talking about is, let's say, for example, a person is standing on Rishos HaRabim and reaching in through the window and moving things around in his house in Rishos HaYachim. Yes, he's allowed to do that, as long as he's not transferring things from one Rishos to another. Yeah, I mean, there are certain things on that, there are Xeris that are on him. And then in the last parak of Eirvet, it talks about such concepts. But at least Medar Raisa, there's no Isser over there because he himself is manipulating things all within one Rishos.
This is always speaking about you doing things below 10.
No, so over here, Bapashtus, it could be even it's above 10 Tvachim, because again, it's Moshe, he's handing something to the other, and therefore even above you.
Right. So what Rav is saying basically is that that's what the Mishnah wanted to introduce to us,
yeah.
That the Makom Chashuv is the equivalent of Arba Bayim.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. In fact, Tosfos at the very beginning of the Masechta, when it was discussing why the Masechta started with this case of Yetzias HaShabbos, why doesn't it mention it later on when it's discussing the Malach al Vaitzah, beginning in the seventh parak? One answer Tosfos gave is because there are so many important dinim that we learn from our Mishnah, and therefore the Tana liked this Mishnah a lot and wanted to start it with it. One of those is this din. Yeah. We also had Shnayim Shasu Uptur, and we also had half a dozen dinim that we can learn just from the cases of our Mishnah. Yeah. Okay. The chayin ki also Ravin Amr Rabbi Yechanan. So also, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, he said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, Yodesh al Adam Chashuva like a dalal adalad, that a person's hand is considered to him like 4x4. So therefore, yes, it's considered a makom chashuv, and therefore it is. Therefore, you do have akira and hanachah from place dalal adalad.
So now it's confirmed.
So now it's confirmed. Yeah.
Now you should go to everybody.
So I'm just going to go to everybody then. Yeah. Okay. Amr of an Amr Rabbi Loi Amr Rabbi Yechanan. Zorak chayfetz, in this connection, if a person throws something, v'noch b'seh yadosh ha'chaveri, and it lands in somebody else's hands, chayef, then he's chayef. Because he did akira and hanocha. So the question is, my kamash malon, what is Rabbi Yechanan's chiddush? Yadosh ha'adam chashuv alei kedal al-adal, he's telling us this din, that a person's hand is 4x4, v'ha'am Rabbi Yechanan chad azimna. We already have that. Rabbi Yechanan said it. He said explicitly, yadosh ha'adam chashuv alei kedal al-adal, why is he repeating it? The answer is because you could say there's a difference. In the case when we said to explain our Mishnah, he's saying that his own hand has the chashivus of 4x4. So he's the Oni, for example, standing outside and taking something that was in his hand, where his hand is considered like makom dalal adalad, and putting it into the hand of the balabais inside the house. So he's saying that his own hand counts as 4x4. But he didn't necessarily, in the second case that we're talking about, he wasn't machshav his own hand. It landed on its own in the other guy's hand. He may not have even had kavana that it's going to land in the other guy's hand. His kavana was just that it's going to land anywhere, and it landed in the other guy's hand. So maybe not. Maybe you would say that it's no good because it didn't land on a makom dalal adalad, kamash malan. Therefore, Rabbi Yechanan has to tell us the second din and say that even then he's chayev as well.
So it's being thrown from Rosh Hashanah, it goes through Rosh Hashanah.
Well, it doesn't really matter for our purpose, I guess, whether we're talking about from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah or whether we're talking about four amos in Rosh Hashanah. But not just we're talking about the second case, four amos in Rosh Hashanah. But
So they're both standing
in Rosh Hashanah. So
what's the difference if he catches if it lands?
Because if it lands, then for sure it's high. If it landed on a place dalal adalad, but we would have thought
that's not four.
That's what they're more. That's four. More than dalal adalad.
Right. That's a regular kiranach.
That's a regular kiranach.
If the guy catches it,
we would have thought that maybe then in that case it's not considered that it landed on a makom dalal adalad. Because it's not his own hand. He wasn't machshav it. He didn't tell Shimon to catch it. He didn't intend necessarily for Shimon to catch it. So therefore, maybe nobody was machshav it over there.
So let's say that guy caught it, and he's standing there, just rabbis, and that's also hanocha, right?
It is hanocha, but it's not hanocha unless we say yadosh shaladim chashuv alei.
Right.
That is why Rabbi Yechanan had to tell us the second game.
Right, the own hand we knew it from before.
From before, but now we need to know about the other guy's hand. Yeah. And Tosfos points out he couldn't have said only the second din and not the first, because then we wouldn't realize that Akira and Hanocha both that the hand counts like dal al dal for both Akira and Hanocha. So now we know. Now we know it counts.
Well, in any case, if you said one and not the other, if you said the Akira is the hand of Akira is not 4x4.
No, because you could have, let's say, that you could have, let's say, in the, imagine, for example, the ball was on the floor and he picked it up and threw it.
Okay,
and,
let's say he took it from his hand. He did Akira from his hand, and you say the hand is not 4x4, it wouldn't work.
Granted, but if he picked it up from the ground and threw it, then it would, because then you have Akira from the ground.
But if he didn't.
Okay, but at least you would have a case where the Akira doesn't have to involve it being that having first knock in his hand. We could have that the Akira to begin with was from the ground and then directly into the air. Okay.
So he lifts it from the table 4x4?
Yeah, let's say, or the ground or whatever, yeah, and then immediately throws it in. Okay. So that's it. Now, Amar of an Amar of Eloy, Amar of Yechanan, Amar b'mekoyim of Kibol Chayev, more on this, if Shimon stands where he was and catches the thing,
in
Rosh Hashanah, then Reuven is chayev, Orka b'makayv of a kibble potter. But if Reuven, we said before on the Omelet, we mentioned the Acherim, so if Shimon had to move from his place and then he caught it, then he's potter, because again, like we said before, then the Hanocha didn't happen as a direct result of what the other guy did, because he intended that it was going to land in Rosh Hashanah, and instead it landed in his hand. So sure, his hand is mocking dollar on dollar, but it wasn't the place where he intended it for it to land.
But it's all land on Shisharab.
Okay, but nevertheless, it wasn't Malachas Machshavas. Then he didn't his Machshava didn't get accomplished. He intended, if he just intended that it'll land anywhere, then yeah, he's gonna be high. But if he intended it's gonna land in a certain place, then yeah.
What happens if he's on a mound, which is a communist? It is in Rosh Hashanah, and he stands on top of the mound. What's the deal?
Then I guess the guy who threw it is Potter, because he threw from Rosh Hashanah to Carmelos. Okay. So yeah. So again, the one who threw it, the one who threw it didn't do Hanoch actually. Tanin Ami Hochi, we learn like that indeed in a Braisa. We said Achirim Omrim, Omer b'mekayim b'kibol Chayev, Okem b'mekayim b'kibol Potter. I guess either Rabbi Yechanan assumes that the Chachamim are not arguing with Achirim on that, or that even if they are, the Halacha in this case is like Achirim. Okay. Boy Rabbi Yechanan. Now Rabbi Yechanan asked a question in that connection. Zorak Chayev, suppose a person throws something, v'neko whom in a koyim b'chaz of a kibloy. The person himself, Reuben himself, who threw it, then runs over and catches it outside of house.
He threw it up in the air.
He threw it up in the air. Yeah, and then he runs over. And then he runs over and catches it outside of Fuam. Mahu, what would be the din? Is he Chayev or Potter? So the question is, my kamabayole, what exactly is Rabbi Yechanan's suffix? Why should he be Potter? He did Akira, he did Hanocha. What's the Habam in otherwise? Rabbi Yechanan's question is, where you have two koiches in one person, meaning, in other words, in this case, again, the Akira that he did was supposed to result in, if he had just thrown it and he hadn't gone and caught it, it would have resulted in a Hanocha in such and such a place, let's say on the ground in Rosh Hashanah. Instead, it ended up in a different place. So that could be similar to the case where we said where Reuven threw it and Shimon ran and caught it, where it didn't land in Shimon's hand as a direct result of Reuven's throwing. So the same thing over here. You could say that it didn't land in his own hand as a direct result of his throwing. It's as if for that purpose, you could say, as if like there was a different koyach, as if there was a different person over here, maybe, because so therefore you have an Akira without a Hanocha. And therefore, you should be potter. So that's the question. There's two koiches in one person. Do we still consider it like one person? Because after all, he is one person, v'chayev, and then he's chayev, having done the Akira and the Hanocha. Or maybe we consider him like two separate people, because the Hanocha didn't happen as a direct result of his Akira. It took a separate action that took place after he threw it. Yes. In other words, when he threw it, implicit in the throwing was that it was going to land in a certain place, depending on the force and depending on the angle and whatever, it was going to land in such a sort of place. And instead, it landed in a different place because he intercepted it. So does that count as two separate things, as two separate actions, and therefore the Akira is not tied to the Anocha?
The Mishnah never said that.
The Mishnah didn't talk about that case. The Mishnah doesn't talk about lots of cases. That's what the Gemara is for. Yeah. So therefore, it's Kishnevi Dadan Domi Upotter. And the answer is Teiku. So we can't be Machayev and Machatas, because you can't be Machayev a person and Achatas for a self. and certainly not tefillah.
So as soon as he has to move, that's it?
So as soon as he moves and catches it, then yeah, he's potter. If he didn't catch it and it landed in Rosh Hashanah, which is where he threw it to originally, then yeah, he's going to be chayav.
But then we say that in case of derasa, when there's safek, you will be machmir.
Sure, but what's to be machmir over here? To be machmir would be over here to tell him that he has to bring a korban, but he can't because you can't bring cholim into the azar. So when it comes to teku in the case, that's the question. So if it was bringing a bird korban, fine, you can bring a bird korban for a safek. But the regular kind of chasas that a person brings for most Isurei Karis, including Shabbos, is an animal. You can't bring an animal chasas for a safek. So teku, when it comes to cases involving animal korbanos, means you can't bring the korban. Yeah. It's a safek, but he can't bring the korban.
Even this guy who caught it, he's standing in the Shabbos both times.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Here's another thing. Rav Oven says in the name of Rav Yechanan. Suppose a person sticks his hand into somebody else's chaser. He's standing in a shutter and he sticks his hand in through the window or something, through the wall or whatever, through a hole in the wall into the chaser. The kibbel made shamim. He caught rainwater in his hand that was falling in the other guy's chaser. And he brought it out. He brought it out into the shutter and chayev. I'm not sure why the Mishnah mentions the case Chatzar Chaveri rather than his own Chotzer. On the face of it, it doesn't seem to make a difference whether it was his own Chotzer or somebody else's, but whatever. He stuck his hand into a Chotzer, and Kibble makes Shem of a Hoyti Chayim. Masi for Rav Zera. However, Rav Zera says, I have a problem with that. Mali hit ine Chaveri, Mali hit ine Shemayim. What would be the difference whether somebody else put it in his hand or whether Hashem put it in his hand by making the rain fall? Either way, Iulai Ovad Akira. He didn't do the Akira. We said in the Mishnah we have the case, for example, where the Oni stuck his hand into the window, the Balabayas put something into it, and then the Oni brought his hand back out. We said he's potter because it was Shnayim Shasua. Here it's the same thing. Why should it be any different over here? He stuck in his hand, rain fell into it. He didn't do the Akira. The Akira was done by Hashem, by making the rain fall from the clouds. Now he's only doing the Hanukkah.
Him putting out a cup, does that make another Akira?
A cup wouldn't be, a cup is less than dollar a dollar anyway, but we're talking about he's catching it in his hand. Fine, even you want to say his hand is dollar a dollar, but he didn't pick up the thing with his hand. It fell into his hand, yeah.
The question is
in any case, why is he high? Yeah. The answer is loitemus kibul. You're right. You don't say that he just received the rain in his hand with his open hand without doing a ma'isa. Ela kolat. Rather, what you have to say is that he made it happen. In other words, at this point, what the Gemara assumes is you have, let's say, a stream of water coming down from the roof, coming down through the drain pipe or something. He redirects it with his hand. He hits that water and causes some of it to fall into his hand, so that's the Akira, and then he carries it out, so that's the Hanukkah.
You put your hand, you stop the running, it goes into your hands, then you cause the Akira.
Well, that's what Rashi thinks. So you actually luach yoreh, that you have a stream of water flowing down, hika b'yodeachas, he hits that with one hand, the kibloi b'chavata, and he receives the water into his other hand, the ovid l'akira. So now he accomplished the Akira by redirecting the flow.
He wants to have a drink, instead of putting his mouth to get him right. Wet, it's fake.
Akira and Hanukkah can be done by two separate hands.
Why not?
Why, yes.
Why shouldn't it be? It's why they, over here, yeah.
In person.
No, but that was what we talked about before when he threw it. Because when you throw it, you have there's either it's going to land in such a kind of place, or you intercept it and it ends up landing someplace else. When you're carrying it, here we're talking about he's carrying it. He's taking his hand and moving it. There, you don't say that there's no difference between one hand and two hands, because then either way, wherever you're carrying it to is where it's going to land. Where it's up to your volition. Wherever you stop moving your hand is where it lands.
But if
it's in the Abba, it's the farmers by farmers. Fine. If it was all in that wouldn't be a problem. But we're talking, he's taking from Rosh Hashanah. He's taking from somebody's chaser, which is Rosh Hashanah, and carrying it out to Rosh Hashanah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
One second. Let's say he wants to check for rain, and he stretches his hands to find out through the window.
Yeah.
And the window, and then he puts his hand in Rosh Hashanah. And then there is rain. What is it?
So what, is he allowed to bring his hand back in, you ask?
Yeah.
L'chura, yeah, because he didn't do any ma'isa. That's what we're saying over here on the face of it. He didn't do any ma'isa, so therefore there wasn't any akira. I don't know. There's also, I mean, we're going to learn later on in the fact that there's a minimum amount of water that a person has to carry. I'm trying to have a minimum amount of almost anything that a person has to be carrying. A drop of rain maybe is not that minimum. Okay, anyway. Okay, so kolach. So he actually, he redirected the water into his hand. So then there was a mice. The problem is, doesn't there have to be an akira from a place 4x4? Sure, we said his hand counts as 4x4, but again, we need the akira itself into his hand, which then he's going to withdraw, to be from a place dala dala, and you don't have it. If it's streaming down the wall, then you don't, We're talking about that he caught it. Okay, so the original assumption of the Gemara Kolat was there wasn't necessarily a wall involved. It is raining, and what it did is instead of just sticking out his hand, he actually, like, he's doing it like this with his hand. He's waving his hand to get more and more rain into his hand. So that's Akira. But the problem is that still it's in the air. It's not on a Malcolm Dowd or Dowd.
So let's say the water is coming down and the drain pipe is missing. So instead of going down the direction, is it going slapping all over? So
yeah, that could also be, yeah, where he takes some of that water. Yeah, that could also be, yeah. Okay. So the answer is, I'm going to clear a bridge. I'm going to get your call up now. I've got to be at coast, though. Yes, so the case we have to be talking about is where he did that. He's redirecting the water from on top of a roof, from the roof. Not on top of the wall. From the wall, rather. It's streaming down the wall, and he catches it from there. The problem is, I got a coastal nami beholding noch. Okay, even if you say, fine, the wall counts as a place 4x4, because the horizontal surface of it is 4x4, let's say, but it wasn't noch. It never stood still over there, so you didn't have a place where it was noch to be able to say that you're doing akira from, because it's flowing. But his hand itself, we said, you need to have an akira from a place into his hand, which then he's going to be taking out his hand. You have to have, again, just like in the Mishnah, you have to have that he's picking up something with his hand and then bringing it out. But here, in order to pick it up, it has to have been in a place where it was knock in the first place, and then he's being oiker it from there and putting it in his hand and then bringing it out.
Something like that, take it out to drink it, that would not be considered the...
So now, if it just landed in his hand without him doing any action, then no, it wouldn't be yet. The answer is, Kid'omar Rava, Rabba, the Koisel, Meshuppah, as we find in a different context that Rava or Rabba explained a certain din in a Mishnah as referring to a case of a slanted wall, Hachanam, the Koisel, Meshuppah, the same thing over here, we could be saying it's a slanted wall, and therefore the rain is more standing still on that, which the Gemara is going to ask soon that it's not really, because the fact of the matter is, it's water, it's still constantly flowing down any kind of slope. But first, let's work through what Rava says. Behecha itmar de Rava. Where did Rava say? In what connection did Rava say this concept of kosel meshuppah? I hold this down in connection with the following mishnah. Last perek of Eruvin, and the last perek of Eruvin has a lot of miscellaneous things that really, on the surface, could have belonged in many different places in Masechta Shabbos. So it kind of completes a number of dinim that we learn in connection with Hesav Achnasa and various other miscellaneous dinim that we learn throughout Shabbos and Eruvin. My own idea behind it, by the way, is that you have in most of the Shisha Sidra Mishnah, you find that the number of prakim in Masechus goes down. It starts from the highest and goes down to the lowest. There are some exceptions. Zoyim is a notable exception, but in general, it does work. However, you generally find, well, for example, in Moed, you have, let's say, Shabbos has 24 prakim, Eruvin and Pesachim have 10 each, Shkolim and Yom have 8 each, etc. With that said, though, Rishonim, such as the Rambam, find other reasons for the orders of the Masechta. They don't just say it's a matter of largest to smallest, and they obviously have the same number of prakim and everything in front of them. So my theory behind it is that it's not. Once the Masechtas are going to be in a certain order, then Rebbe wanted to make sure that they go also in an order from largest to smallest. But that would mean, in other words, let's say in the case of Eruvin logically goes right after Masechta Shabbos, because they both deal with aspects of Shabbos. If we didn't have that 10th perek of Eruvin, if the material in it was distributed among other prakim in Shabbos and Eruvin, then Eruvin would only have 9 prakim. Then it wouldn't belong before Pesachim, which has 10. So in order to make it that you can have the Seder in terms of Prakim, but more to the point that you have the Seder, the conceptual Seder, they had to have a 10th Perek of Eruvin. That's my theory anyway. Okay, anyway. So the Mishnah says about it. Hoya kore b'sefer alei skufa. Suppose a person is sitting on the stoop of his house and reading from a sefer. The stoop is itself considered a karmelis. It's at least 3 tefachim tall. It's standing in front of Rishus Rabim, between Rishus Rabim and his house. It's at least 3 tefachim tall, but less than 10. It's 4x4. So therefore, so it's a kaimelis. That's the definition of a kaimelis. So he's sitting over there and reading a sefer, and Rashi points out, Sforim in those days were always written like Sifrei Torah. They were written in a scroll. So it wasn't like a book that we have with pages.
What's an igeris exactly?
An igeris is a letter. So an igeris, you're asking because we fold the Megillah, an igeris is a letter. A letter usually like open up and you open up and read. You don't read it from a scroll. That's why we...
Is a book considered an igeris?
No, I don't know. But and I don't know. A book, I mean, they didn't have books with pages in the times of the Gemara. They only developed that concept later on. But they actually found a really ancient manuscript of a fragment or a manuscript of Shas that was written like a Sefer Torah. It was literally written in columns over there on a scroll like a Sefer Torah. Because that's in the times of the Gemara.
Why do we
unfold the Megillah and read it like an even read, because it like to be like an Igeris. Because on the one hand,
it's a scroll.
But it's also called Igeris. Igeris HaFor HaMazos. All right, anyway, let's go on. So he's reading. So he's reading from the scroll sefer, sitting on the stoop. Venis gaugel a sefer miyadei, and then the sefer rolls out of his hands and falls into the street. Or no, not completely falls into the street, but one part of it rolls away. Fine, go to the Esla. He can re-roll it back to himself because he's sitting in Kaimelis. It rolled out into Rishus Rabim. Fine, it's only a Xeder Dirabanan not to move from Kaimelis to Rishus Rabim. And here, because of the covet of the sefer, we're not going to be gozer on it.
We just to get up now and pick it up from
the... No, it means, in other words, he's sitting where he is on the stoop. He re-rolls it. He has one end of it still in his hand.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's the thing. There's not even really Akira because he has one end of it in his hand. So therefore, there's no reason to be gozer. On the other hand, Hoya Koda Berosh Hagag, on the other hand, if he's sitting on top of the roof and reading from the sefer, and the roof is 10 tzachim tall, so therefore it's Rosh HaSiachin, Gaugala Sefer Miyadeh, and one end of the sefer rolls away from him.
Scroll.
Absolutely, Gil Yud Tvachim. If he catches it before the end of the sefer is within 10 Tvachim of the ground, go like that, so that he can also roll it. Because again, once it's above 10 Tvachim, it's in Makom Ptur, so then he's only rolling it back from Makom Ptur into Rosh HaSiachin, and he can do that. Mishi Gil Yud Tvachim. But if it reached within 10 Tvachim of the ground, there already it would now, Midaraita, it wouldn't be either. Because the fact of the matter is that the fact of the matter is he's holding one end of it in his hand. So it's not really considered, it's not really transferring from one Rishos to another, but still in that case the Chachamim are going to make a Zera and not allow him to, because that could easily be confused with the case where he drops the whole thing and there, if it's within 10 Tvachim of the ground and he picks it up, then he's over on an Issa D'Oraisa. So therefore, so Midaraisa wouldn't be, but Midarabanan, yeah. So even if he's holding one end, that's the point. So therefore, what he should do is he should turn it over so the writing is not facing outward, at least for the covered of the sefer, for the covered of the sefer of Chumash or Nach or whatever it is that he's learning from. At least turn it over so that the ksav is not exposed for the whole rest of Shabbos. And then after Shabbos, he'll pick it back up.
The rain gets ruined.
That's okay. That also will protect it at least to some extent from rain if it's turned over.
Yeah, but
he
turns it over from the Gag.
It'll fall down.
It down on Rosh Hashanah. It also turns around. I mean, he's moving.
That's fine, but that at least we're not going to be that to that extent. We're not going to be going there. But to actually have him bring it back, that we're not going to. So now the question
we would.
That we wouldn't be going there. That he should turn it over. We allow him to turn it over. Right, but pulling it back, moving it back, it wouldn't. Okay, so Vahavinan Boss, so in the Sugya in Eruv in there, the Gemara asks the question, Am I Hotel Sab? Why are you requiring them only to turn it over and then leave it that way the rest of Shabbos? Ha loy noch. There was no noch. It didn't land on anything because it's just hanging there in the air. So therefore, why would there be how could he ever come to an Isur Daraita? That we would say that we should be going there. The Amar Rava because on the Shuppah. So Rava says, we're talking about we're talking about a diagonal wall. We're talking about that the wall is wider on the bottom and narrows towards the top. So therefore, it lands. The end of it lands on that diagonal surface, on that slanted surface. Because if it's not slanted, the Gemara assumed at first that the wall is vertical. So if it's vertical and it's hanging off, then there's no knock.
Right.
But now we're saying the wall is slanted. So therefore, it landed over here. That can be considered a knock.
And get stuck by something?
Yeah, let's say it got stuck by a little bit of a little protrusion in the wall or something.
What about if it lands on a chair?
I don't know. What about it?
That's in Rosh Hashanah.
That's within 10 Tvachim. Same thing, yeah. Okay, but in fact, Tosfos points out that in order for that wall to be considered a Rishus Rabim, Tosfos says it would have to be that people, as we said before, that people use that wall to adjust their burden. So therefore, it's considered an extension of Rishus Rabim. Other Rishonim, the Ritva talks about that not necessarily, because when we would only say that when you have like a vertical pillar in Rishus Rabim, then it needs to be Rabim Makaspin Olav in order for it to count as part of Rishus Rabim. Here, where it's slanted, it can count as part of Rishus Rabim regardless, because people still walk on it. People still, whatever. People still use it as an extension of Rishus Rabim. Okay. Anyway, so the point is, Rava says over there, Bekoisa Moshuva, the same thing, our case over here involving catching rain that's flowing down, can also be talking about Koisa Moshuva. So therefore, there was a Hanocha. Therefore, he's redirecting the water from there with one hand into his other hand. There you go. There was an Akira from the wall into his hand, and then he takes it out and puts it down and or drinks it, as the case may be, and then there's Hanocha.
Let me ask you a question. If the wall is just Harabi and there's a ledge.
The ledge has to be 4x4, unless it's a ledge that's
not 4x4.
Then it depends whether it's above three. If it's below three, then yeah, it's part of Rishus Rabim. If it's between 3 and 10, if it's between 3 and 10, it's also part of Rishus Rabim. If it's above 10, then it would be Malcolm Sir. Okay.
So if he puts it on the ledge of the wall that's below 10,
then he's higher. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so the question is, Amo de Omar Rava be safer. Okay, but you can say Rava is talking about a case of a safer de Omar Denayach. We're fine. Even on a diagonal, even on a slant, it can still be noch over there, yeah, because there can be a little bit of a bump in the wall or something that causes it to stop moving. Water doesn't stand still. Water flows down. It kind of floats. So even if it's a slanted wall, where there's still no noch. Ela Omar Rava, so Rava says no. You have to be talking about because then she call it now Gabe Guma. Forget about that the rain was falling and he caught it from that it was flowing along the wall or from the drain pipe or whatever. And we're talking about that he caught some water that was in a pit in the ground and then brings it out. So the question is now, says pshita, a guma pshita. Well, of course, if the water is in a hole that collected in a hole in the ground, of course he did. Akira, what's the chiddush? The answer is mau detema mayim agabi mayim lav hanocho, because you would say that maybe it's water on top of water. Maybe that's not considered hanocho. Water is constantly moving, so therefore you shouldn't count. You shouldn't count that water from a pit where the upper water is constantly moving relative to the lower water. Especially we're still talking about over here that was raining, so the water is being churned up anyway. So maybe it's not considered a real akira kamash malon, and that's what Rava wants to tell us that it is. Forget about wall. The water is collected in a pit, and you even have more rain falling into it. But even though the water is constantly moving around, nevertheless, that's considered that it is in its place. It was munach, and now you picked it up from there, and now you did akira.
Yeah, the water's not moving.
It could be moving. Again, especially if it's raining, it's moving by definition.
It's moving within the hole.
Okay, that's the point. Nevertheless, we need to be told that that's anocha. But as the Rava l'taimei, in fact, Rava is going according to his own shita, the Omer Rava, mayim agave mayim hainu hanachos. And when you have, like this, water on top of other water, that's considered, it's mokim hanocha. Therefore, if a person scoops up some water from there, then he has done akira. On the other hand, Rava says, if you have a nut, a walnut, let's say, floating in the water, that's not considered hanocha, because it's constantly moving around. So you can't say that if the person picked up the nut, that he did akira. Because it wasn't really from a place where you could consider it akira in the first place. Boy, Rava, but Rava asks in that connection, ego is the kli, what if you have a nut that's inside a keli, the keli tsof agavi mayim, and then the keli itself is floating on the water. So what do we say? Basu egas as linen v'hanayach. If the person then picks up the nut itself relative to the keli is standing still. It's not moving within the keli.
Right.
Oh, basu kli as linen v'halanayach. Or maybe you go according to the keli and the keli is not moving. So again, keku. So we don't know. And again, he can't be chay v'chatas for that on Shabbos.
If he takes the nut out of the keli,
and moves it 4 amos from Rishus Rabim, or brings it from Rishus Rabim to Rishus Yochid, then you can't be mechayim for that. Okay.
You can't be mechayim.
He might be chayim daraisa, but we can't bring a chafas for the same reason we said before. We can't bring a chafas for a suffer.
Because it's moving around.
Well, because the keli is moving around. So even though the nut is not, we don't know whether the important thing is the nut or the keli. Okay. Next. What about a case The keli is not standing still. The nayib is moving around in the water to take. Okay. What about another case? Shemen shatsof al gabi yayin. What if you have oil floating on top of wine? So you have a barrel of wine, let's say. You have on top of it is a layer of oil, which somebody points out that they used to do that very commonly because it would help prevent the wine from oxidizing and going sour. Where oil is airtight.
But it would change the taste, wouldn't it?
No, because eventually what you do is you skim off the oil. The oil rises to the top after all. You skim off all the oil, and then you have the wine underneath. It probably wasn't the best way to do it. Ideally, I guess they would seal the barrel shut, but if they couldn't, for whatever, then. So let's say you have oil floating on water, and the person picks up the oil and takes it out, Tirshas Rabim. In connection with Hilchos Shabbos, by the way, Rashi points out, it could just as well be oil floating on water. There's no difference. The reason we mention on top of wine is because we're going to mention a machlokas involving truma, and truma doesn't apply to water. Truma only applies to wine and oil, another agricultural product. So machlokas Rav Yechanan ben Nuri v'Rabbanan, that would be subject to a machlokas Rav Yechanan ben Nuri and the Chachamim, whether we consider them to be connected or not. If we consider them to be connected, then it would be like water, where we said the water is considered, your person picks up water from the pit, then he's chayev. If he said they're not considered connected, then it would be like the nut. Then it would be like the nut in the water. Ditnan, we learn in a Mishnah in the Sefer Tzvulyoim. Now we know that a Tzvulyoim is considered to be a low level degree of Tumah. He's considered to be a Sheni of Tumah, and therefore, so Chulin he can't be Matame, but Tumah, if he touches it, he makes it possible. So Shemen Shatsof Agabayayin, if you have oil floating on wine, the Nogat Tzvulyoim B'Shemen, if Tzvulyoim touches the oil, like Tassel, Allah Shemen Bilbab, the Tanakhama says he only is Tassel the oil because the oil and the wine are not considered connected. So therefore, the oil becomes a Shlishi B'Truma, and therefore, if it's oil of Truma, then it becomes Tassel, and a Kohen is not allowed to eat it. But the wine that's underneath does not, because a Shlishi doesn't create it or eat. So in connection with Hilchos Shabbos, therefore, it would be like the nuts. It would be on the other hand, Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri Mishneh Mechobarim Zalazet. Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri says they're both considered connected to each other. Therefore, it would be like the water. Therefore, it'd be chayav.
What is it?
So the halacha is like the chachamim in the case of truma. So therefore, the halacha would be like the halacha would be like them also in the case of a Jew that he picked up the oil on Shabbos. He's not chayav.
Because they're not connected.
Because they're not connected. So it's like the nut floating in the water, right? If a person is carrying food or drink, which it sounds like, in other words, he didn't carry them for the purpose of, he didn't pick them up for the purpose of carrying them out to Rishus Rabin. He picked them up in order to move them someplace else in his house. Then even if he's walking in and out of the house, in and out of the Rishus Rabin all day, he's not going to be chayev for a chasas ad sheyamod, until he stands still. Because only when he stands still, then when he's moved, we said before, akiras gufei ka'akiras chesis. Once he starts moving his body, then it'll be considered akira of the things that he's carrying. But like this, the akira to begin with was in order to move it around in his house. So therefore, it wasn't an akira for the sake of hotzah, and therefore it doesn't count. Abai says, when would we say that he's chayev only if he stands at some point in order to rest? Then you would say, when he starts moving again, then you would say it's considered an akira. But not if he stopped in order to adjust his load. Mimai, where do we see that from? Mida Omamar. Because a braisa says, Tosh Dalat Amos, that if a person is carrying something 4 amos in Rosh Hashanah Rabim, if he stops within 4 amos, Amud Lofush Potter, if during those 4 amos he stops in order to rest, then he's Potter because he didn't carry 4 amos all at once. Lekatif Chayev, but if he stops in order to adjust his load, then he's Chayev because that's not really considered stopping. So therefore, when he continues, he eventually goes 4 amos and therefore he's Chayev.
So if he stops to rest, yes.
Then it breaks up 4 amos. But if he stops to adjust, then he's potter. Then he's chayev rather, because then they're right. Chutz, right. That right. Chutz for dal amos. And so that's if he's carrying it 4 amos in Rosh Hashanah. If he carries it more than 4 amos and then he stops after the 4 amos, then the other way around. Omad lofush chayev. Then if he stops to rest, then he's chayev, because at that point he did da nocha. By that point, by stopping, he did the hanocha. Lekatif potter. But if he stopped to adjust his load, then he would be potter because he hasn't yet done the hanocha. The fact that he stopped to adjust his load means there was no hanocha yet. So therefore, he did the akiri. He moved it more than 4 hours, but he didn't do the hanocha yet. So therefore, so we see, in other words, says Abaya, that there's a difference between stopping to rest versus stopping to adjust. Stopping to rest is considered a real stopping. So in the first case, it breaks up the 4 amos. And in the second case, it means that after the 4 amos, there was a hanocha. And we're stopping to adjust his load is not considered stopping. So in the first case, it doesn't break up the 4 amos. And in the second case, it means there was no hanocha.
So let's say he mistakenly carries a handkerchief from his home.
So in general, you have an issue in halacha. I think we touched on it the other day. You have an issue that it talks about in Shulchan Aruch. If a person is carrying on Shabbos and then realizes it, as a person went out of his house, something in his pocket, let's say, unaware. So what you do is, so there's two possibilities. Either you can walk pachas midal ramas, or you can run. You can't just walk normally, because if you walk normally, you're more likely to forget and stop. And as soon as you stop, then you're doing an akir, then you're doing anocha, and then you're doing another akir.
You could walk normally.
No, the poskim say you should not walk normally in order to make sure that you don't forget. So either you walk pachas midal ramas, or you run, and the running itself will help you remember. Then what you do is when you get to Rosh Hashanah, what you do is you throw it kilachayad into the Rosh Hashanah. You let's say, for example, put it on your shoulder and then do like that to get it into the Rosh Hashanah. And that way you're not over on an Issur Daraisa, because Daraisa is only if you throw it in, only if you put it in or throw it in or whatever the normal way. And like this kilachayad is only also the Rabbanan, and therefore, yeah.
So we spoke about 2 days left. That's just the main thing. If you're walking, you put up a bush which is higher than 10. You put it on top of a bush, it's higher than 10 amos.
No, because the bush itself then is going to be Rosh Hashanah. Then you're still moving it from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. How does that help you? The bush itself, depending, we're going to learn later on, might even be considered Rosh Hashanah. If people use it to adjust burdens or whatever.
If you're carrying, let's say, whatever, it's something you can't throw down, like a mammoth scissor, if you're carrying.
So, okay, so what it does say in Shulchan Aruch is that if you're talking about a load or whatever, so then, even a mammoth scissor, I guess, I mean, you have to throw it down, and then afterwards, okay,
yeah,
I guess you go in there and you pick it up,
and
then you sort of let it slide off or whatever. Yeah, obviously, I guess if you can get it, let's say, into a bush or something higher in Rosh Hashanah, into Rosh Hashanah by doing like that, yeah, it doesn't necessarily mean throwing it, it just means that you're getting it in there, kilachayan. What it does say in Shulchan Aruch, that does not apply if the person, let's say, was carrying it before Shabbos and thinking, I'm going to be able to get there before Shabbos, and then it turned out that not, and that's carelessness, and we said the other day, carelessness is like, yeah, then
the keto was done before Shabbos.
Right, but that's the point. In other words, so now if he stops on Shabbos, if he stops at any point, then starts, yeah, then yeah.
If he continues going, then
if he continues going, then yeah. Okay.
If he has this, you know, whatever, the limer on each shoulder, and he lets it drop once he gets comes in, and once he picks
then
it
he
up,
can go into the Rosh Hashanah and pick it up. Then he can go into the Rosh Hashanah and pick it up. Fine, once the Rosh Hashanah and the Rosh Hashanah, yeah.
You stay in one place, you just pick it up.
Yeah, yeah.
And
okay, let's finish up with you. Okay, so the question is, my kamash malon. Okay, then what is Rabbi Yechanan's chiddush? Shalai ha'isa akira b'shar rishar nevatach. The chiddush is that he's potter because he didn't originally do the akira of the food or drinks intending to carry him out on Shabbos. Rabbi Yechanan already said that same concept in a different context. The Amr of Safra, Amr of Ami, Amr of Yechanan. Hamavir chafotim yizavis lezavis. If a person is carrying objects from one corner of his house to the other, and then halfway in between, he changes his mind and decides to carry him out, potter. Then he's potter from achatas, because he didn't do the original akira for the purpose of carrying out. And therefore, it's not malachas machsheva. So why does
initially
he had the machshava to move it? No, initially he had the machshava to move it around in his house, which is mutter.
In his house.
Then he carried it out. So therefore, the akira was not for the purpose of carrying out. So therefore, that's the same thing as the din where he was tone oichel no mashkin and then going in and out of his house.
So 1 second, when you carry something from your house without knowing that you have it, so also
okay again. Yes, but then if he stops in Rosh Hashanah, then he is going to be high because
he doesn't know that he has it.
Once he finds out, once he realizes he has it in his pocket, then he either has to walk pachas midal ramas or run, because otherwise he knows that he has it. Okay. The answer is amiroyin. It's actually machlokes amiroyin. Which version Rabbi Yechanan said? Mar omala b'hai lishna or mar omala b'hai lishna? Rabbi Ovin, in the name of Rabbi Loi, had one version of what Rabbi Yechanan said. Rav Safra and the name of Rav Ami had a different version. It does both amount to the same thing. Both of them are saying that there has to be the Machshava Rishona to carry it out in order for him to be Chayav, and in this case there wasn't. So one puts it in terms of where he was towing Oichel to Mashkin and then wanders in and out of the house, and the other one where he was intending to move it around his house and then Nimlach and went out in the street.
So that's the same.
Either way, it amounts to the same thing. Yeah, same principle.
And that's the halacha. So
that's the halacha. There has to be Machshava to begin with that he's going to carry it out. Otherwise, it's only not Malachas Machshava, and a Zorai.
And as soon as he becomes aware that he carries something in Rosh Hashanah,
then if he stops, he has a problem. Then he's going to be molested by Shabbat, so therefore he can't stop. So, yeah.
But why do we say that, let's say he becomes aware once he's in Rosh Hashanah, why do we still make him higher from the beginning when he took it out?
Who said we're making him from the beginning? Well, as soon as he stops now in Rosh Hashanah, as long as it was almost lawful, as we said, he stops in order to rest. As soon as he starts walking again, then he's going to be higher.
No transfer.
What do you mean there's no transfer? There's an Akira. Yeah, that's what I said. So there's an Akira because he has it in his hand or his pocket or whatever, and then he's walking for Amos, and yeah.
Now let's see, you're walking on the Empire Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all shucks I have in my pocket. But you don't stop, you continue walking.
Right. You continue running, actually.
Okay, well, let's see. When you find something, oh my gosh, Shabbos, you're not going to forget that. Unless you involve with kids.
But the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say that.
It's supposed to run.
You're supposed to say you're supposed to run. And after that, but I think also add that you can go pochus and dalavan.
I mean, walking fast.
Running. That way it'll be a heftier. That way you'll remember not to stop.
Right. Do something, and then you make it a point that when you put down the rest, that you. Is it help for your resting in something that's over higher than
that? Would then that doesn't help anything, because either way you're in Rosh Hashanah and then you're putting it in Rosh Hashanah.
Right, that's going to be
a bigger problem.
That's considered Rosh Hashanah in the Empire Boulevard.
Well, yeah, okay. If we say that we don't have Rosh Hashanah nowadays, but even so, yeah,
it probably could be control, yeah. So basically, but the idea is actually you clock out, so you're not really putting it down.
That's when you're getting into Rosh Hashanah. Right, you're doing the clock out.
Okay.